Good one.
Cheers
with cans.
Cheers with cans. Everybody knows your name. We don't know all your names. Welcome to A Bit Drunk. This is the BitPods audio podcast in which we like to have a conversation about any and everything relating to console video gaming, past, present, and future. And while we do so, we also imbibe in a few too many Minecraft beers and spirituous beverages. My name is Ian Greer, and I've got another friend drinking and shooting the shit with me tonight. And that is this gentleman right here. He's floating in the most peculiar way. James Lambert.
Sup, girl?
Yeah. There's normally some other, like, blubbering vagina that's here, but, you know, it's that time of the month, so...
The time of the month where he's sick.
Yeah, where he's it's very true. It's not. Or it is. I don't know. Is it true?
I don't know. It seems seasonal.
Seasonally monthly. Anyways,
the weather is above him.
Anyways, if you listen to the podcast on the regular, Danny Gwynn, sick or dead or dying or something, I don't know.
We can hope.
Yeah, one can only hope that's where he is. But we all hate him, and he's not here, not joining us. So the duties to tell you what we're going to be talking about fall squarely upon me. Or James, you know, either one of us.
I don't know what we're talking about.
I don't remember either. It's you know, something about 2016 titties. 2016 titles. Oh yeah, titles. No, we are jerking it off to 2016 tonight. 2015 be long gone and dead, and all hail 2016, and all the games that are going to come with it. We've got, I think we got ourselves through what we're excited about through April at best.
Maybe.
So yeah, stick around, see what we've got on our list. Maybe our list will match up, and if it doesn't, you know, it's too bad. It's our podcast.
Yeah. Just don't listen like you don't listen.
Yeah. Stick around though. I like this beer way too much. this one, it's also, it's like 5.6%, which is deceptive. Because, like, I would get this, and it's like if I had stuff on the smoker,
it's like
I'd put away at least one six-pack and probably start on another, and then it would catch up
and
to
then you
me,
take like, a nap while your meat's burning.
Yeah, with this fire outside, the dogs.
Just licking your face, trying to wake you up.
Hey, the grease is coming off the barbecue! The meat's burning! Go save it! Huh? Oh, God, the meat's burning! Also, our house is on fire. But the meat!
Just, there's some things that are important, right?
Yeah.
Eating meat.
So tonight we're drinking. Actually, James, I might have you discuss. I picked this up, but yes, you suggested it ahead of time
upon my recommendation.
Upon your recommendation, and I've already told you. It was like, ironically, I was looking at beer last week, and I was like, oh shit, this looks really interesting. I should bring some of this to the podcast. So tell us about what we're drinking.
All right, tonight we're drinking a nice beer by the folks up at Fort Point, which is a San Francisco brewery.
San Fran.
They seem like a newer place. Oh, man.
I think they're just starting to get larger distribution.
Yeah, larger distribution. We found them in our local grocer. The particular brew that we're drinking tonight is Westfalia. It's a Nürburgring-inspired red ale, if you read the can. And it's just real good. It's got lots of malty flavors. You got some caramel in there. You got some toasted oats. You got some all that good shit.
I don't think I. It's been a long time since I had a really good red ale.
Yeah.
I think there's like Killian's Irish Red, which everybody has. It's like, meh, whatever. There's a brewery restaurant near us, or a regional one called BJ's, which does Jeremiah Red, which is all right. That's fine. Kind of gets the job done. This is fantastic. This is really, really good. We were just chatting. Like, it's 5.6% alcohol, which is, you know, makes for a very deceptive beer. It's actually decent alcohol content, but not something you would feel like if you're drinking something else that would have like 7%+, like if you're drinking it in a lot of IPAs or something like that.
Right.
So this would almost seem dangerous. So I was like, yeah, I could put away a six of this and then probably start on another, but then it would hit me.
Right.
And I'd be like, oh, I'm going down. But it's just so good that I don't want to stop drinking it. I don't want to make it go away.
Yeah. So
also, the can is great.
This is, it's a very well-designed can, very geometric. It's got actually a picture of a Volkswagen Westfalia, which is where I kind of want to pass out after drinking a six-pack of these.
Yeah.
So
this is cool. Completely brilliant. And yeah, it has a malt finish to it, which keeps winning me over. I don't know why. It's just like, I don't know. It's just the
it's not going to slip out of your hand.
Textural composition of this can.
You're going to grip it. You're going to squeeze on it.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
It'll be good times. And you're not going to drop it.
Yeah. No. And that's really the only beer that we've been drinking tonight.
Yeah. Because just
we got a six
two
pack.
Of us. Yeah. Yeah, we got a six pack. Just two of us. But yeah, you can get it. It comes in cans, 12 ounce cans, in six packs. At least that seems to be how they're distributing right now. Maybe about $9-$10. And it is $9-$10 well spent.
Totally.
So go and get you some. James, what have you been playing?
So recently I've acquired two games that I've been playing. The first one, on a whim, I purchased, called Surgeon Simulator.
No shit.
So
wait, isn't that like an Adult Swim game?
I think so.
Yeah.
It's so fucking weird. So it's gotta be Adult Swim.
Yeah.
The first thing that's weird about it is it's motion controlled, and it's just one hand.
What system is you have this on?
PlayStation 4. PS4? Okay. I got it off the network. You got one hand that you control, and you're doing surgery. So you start off, and you're moving the controller around. You're motion controlled, twisting the arm, and you have a finger that you point, and you have the grabbing fist that you can grab with. So. I haven't even gone past the first thing. The first thing is open heart surgery, transplant.
Oh shit!
You transplant.
It's not like stitches on a cut or something.
No. And so you walk up, and somehow you're directly in the body of someone. Like, they have no legs, so you just walk up to their lower torso, mm-hmm. and that's where you're standing. And you pull the bloody sheet off of the torso, and it's already got no skin on it. So you see a rib cage, and you see lungs, and you see a stomach underneath, and then you have an array of tools around you that you can use to disassemble this body. There's a bone saw, there's an electric circular saw, there's also some drugs. I don't know what they're supposed to do, but the controls are so awkward and fumbly that you always stab yourself on the needle, and then you get high, and the colors swirl around the screen, and you don't know what's going on. You don't have good control about your hand. And I just ended up just cutting the guy's face into multiple times.
That's amazing.
It's weird and fun, and I don't even care if there's any other levels, because sometimes you just want to go and like cut somebody's rib cage up and pull their lungs
sometimes
out.
You just need to, like, you just get the urge to do an open heart transplant.
Surgeon Simulator.
Surgeon Simulator,
check it out.
What else are you playing?
The other one, the other thing that I recently got was, I hadn't played an FPS in a while, so I went and got the Call of Duty Black Ops 3.
Okay.
And downloaded that and have been playing through the storyline. And, you know, it's a Call of Duty game. It's the Treyarch version.
Their storylines are usually pretty good.
Their storylines are insane.
Yeah.
I hadn't played a Call of Duty in a while. I haven't played Black Ops 1 or 2.
Oh, so you're going, like, you've not played any of the Black Ops games at all.
Call of Duty has been around forever, so
yeah.
I've played those. And I played Modern Warfare.
Right.
So I know some of like the technical stuff, but this one's just so off the deep end.
Yeah.
Like, you're a dude who is living in the 2060s, and robots have taken over, and you get attacked, and your arms get ripped off in this cutscene, and then you're a super warrior. They fix you up, and they give you fake arms and hands, and then you have all these abilities. So it's a first-person shooter, but you also have the ability to take out drones and, like, hacks computer systems and all this weird stuff.
You're kind of cyberpunk-esque because you get, like, you have all the...
Yeah, so, and, like, the world is destabilized because of global warming, so, like, you're fighting through the storm, and, like, tidal waves come over, and you have to anchor yourself in one mission.
See, it's so funny, like, they actually have, like, fairly creative storylines and backgrounds, or just things that you would almost enthrall, like, as the common nerd... Mm-hmm. I'm enthralled by, like, oh, it's kind of cyberpunky and sort of dystopian, and then, but Call of Duty is just kind of known as, like, I think a lot of people look at it as like, oh, my douchebag brother plays that with
run around and headshot
friends.
People.
Yeah, and headshot, and just like loudly shout into headsets and stuff like mm-hmm. that. But I mean, that's your game. Then that's your game. Like, do that by all means and have fun doing so. But it's like you almost. I think a lot of people miss that end of it. It's like, man, a lot of thought and a lot of creativity went into making this campaign mode and writing this story for it.
And this game in particular has, I think, a lot of redeeming qualities because they give you a lot of replayability. You have the storyline.
Yeah.
You have the multiplayer mode.
Yeah.
Another popular thing with the Call of Duty franchise is the zombie stuff.
Yeah. Right?
So this has a zombie mode that you can go and play in. And then it's got all this weird, like, sci-fi shit that's going on.
Yeah.
And you have, like, you can kit yourself out.
Yeah.
And you have all these different setups that you can do. So there's almost, like, not, I don't want to say an RPG element, but you have, like, this character creation element
right.
to it where you can
do you're taking these, part in it.
You can choose your power that you want to
yeah,
use.
Yeah, yeah.
And all that kind of
stuff. You're very selective with it. It's a very, like, kind of role-play action-y mm-hmm. sort of game. That's awesome. Well, now it makes me want to play one.
Yeah. How about you?
Excuse me. I've been playing. I've got two things. One of them has barely occupied a single percentage of my time because I just got it. It's The Witness on PS4. And I've been very excited to play this title because it's
kind of with Harrison Ford, right?
The Witness?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's The Fugitive. No, wait.
That was Tommy Lee Jones.
Tommy Lee Jones. And then The Juror? No.
Harrison Ford was The Witness. There was the people that drive the horse and buggies.
It was the one-armed man. Was it? Oh, shit.
The corn silo. The little kid.
God damn. I completely forgot about that. Get off my plane. That's all I can think about is Air Force One. Because that's what Donald Trump plays when he lands his private jet. It's a game from Air Force One. And it just makes me laugh. So I got The Witness. It just dropped a little while ago. It's inspired by Myst.
Okay.
So, yeah, you've got kind of this very, very intricately puzzle-based single... I think there is maybe a multiplayer aspect to it. So far, I've only seen the single part of it, but it's a lot of, like, creative puzzle-solving, putting things together sort of stuff. Barely scratched the surface on this game, but it's already got me very intrigued, which is dangerous because I if you listen to our last episode, I've acquired for myself a huge backlog of games. Out of that, I've been focusing a lot more of my time on Metal Gear Solid 5 because it was kind of between that and Xenoblade Chronicles for a little while. And kind of like you, where you're like, I haven't played an FPS in a while. Like, I've been playing I've been playing a lot of RPGs. Mm-hmm. And so, and I'm loving Xenoblade Chronicles X, and it's super addicting. It's really, really addicting. There was one point I just fired up Metal Gear Solid 5 again, and I was like, you know what? I'm just really loving, like, coming up behind people, interrogating them, and stabbing them in the throat, and stealing things, and then building up my mother.
Stabbing from behind?
Yeah, so if this...
Do it.
I don't know, maybe just that... the violence aspect of it or something. Or just like, oh, I got a sniper rifle now, and you know, it's like, oh, I gotta blow up some communication arrays, cool.
Yay.
It's you know, a little bit different than like figuring out this strange, like Xenoblade is like you're on this strange planet and what else has been here before and there's another race and what's going on and like you had to exit Earth because of you were caught in the middle of a war and you crash landed on like the human species has crash landed here. But it's in some ways, it still feels a little bit more lighthearted. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to... possibly in contrast to Metal Gear Solid 5 right now, where it's a little bit more dismal. It's Cold War. Which is so strange. Like, you always think of Metal Gear Solid as, like, the futuristic thing, but you're actually 30-something years behind you mm-hmm. right now.
That's one of the best things about that series, though.
Yeah.
It's like, they skip around and...
Yeah, just whatever number of the series you're in does not necessarily mean where you are in the global timeline.
Mm-hmm.
But I've just been enjoying the hell out of that. Yeah, I know it's like, yeah, dude, that's October news, but I'm having a blast with it. I like...
Games don't need no dates.
They don't need them dates. I really thought this was a really excellent way for Kojima to exit because he's written a brilliant game with a great story so far, and adding the very open world aspect to it mm-hmm. has made it super, super cool and very much like kind of like we talked about last time in our open world episode, where it's like, hey, what's that over there? I'm gonna fuck around with that. And it's like, next thing you know, it's like, oh, I got a wolf companion. Cool. or it's, you know, something like that. Or just, oh, I just ended up with this, or I found this little thing, or this could be useful later.
I just killed a bunch of people.
I just killed a bunch of people, and I got some extra points for it. So, but yeah, that's what we drinking. That's what we playing. Time to do a little drunk talk.
Okay. One drink for my trouble, two drinks for my love, three drinks to blind my pain, and then another one for my wobble. But now I'm wallowing in morbidly fog. I can say that I'm sure I swore. Now I'm so officially we are,
we're gonna jerk off to 2016.
Okay.
2015, be dead. Dead, sucked, over, done. Who cares? Nobody likes 25th
what?
Yeah, right? It's as if it never happened. Somebody's gonna write something in a history book about it. Nothing will have been notable. Long live 2016 and our jerkery offery to it.
Let's live in the present.
Let's open some presents.
We don't need the past. Let bygones be bygones. We're gonna live in the now, or we're just gonna look forward to like a couple weeks from now.
Yeah,
one of those.
If we remember to think that far ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 2015 was pretty great though.
I don't remember.
I'm not even speaking of it anymore. So one of the last things. It's probably good that asshole Danny's not here this week because
giant vagina Danny.
Giant vagina.
I've dubbed him thus.
Monstrous, toothed vagina.
He's like a bottomless. Georgia O'Keeffe painting.
It's cavernous in there. Fuck.
Where was just that? Real close up, pick like an orchid or something.
Yeah, like or it's a mural on the Burj Dubai. Like it's that big. Okay. So yeah. So it's a good thing he's not here, because I listen to a lot of other podcasts, like you do, a lot of them video game related, and everybody is discussing the Nintendo NX and rumors and speculation about it.
Is it codenamed Dolphin?
It is not.
Okay.
It is not codenamed Revolution either.
Okay.
Just calling it the NX.
Okay. Codenamed TBD.
Yeah, I was like, is that their code name? Because Miyamoto just dropped that.
Oops.
You know, it's like, I was like, oops, I said that. It's like, yeah, I'm sure that was an accident. Which is great, because ironically, this is kind of one of my favorite times in a console's life, was like before...
The end times?
Yeah, the end times.
The golden era of
before
this
before the Lord returns. and we are... raptured up into
before we're reborn anew,
right?
If you're gonna get cyclical and
Eastern. I'm not good with theological stuff, but didn't that already happen? Oh wait, no, if we're talking Eastern, then there's another reborn thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but
not just the once. You get to do it again and again. Also, you get to be reborn.
And yeah, 72 virgins. We're not gonna tell you what gender. We're not gonna tell you how old they are.
Nope.
That's where religion gets you. It's just like the fine print.
Yeah, you get up there and you're like, I'm ready to fuck! Fooled you! It's all dudes.
It's all dudes. It's all 40-something dudes.
Mm-hmm.
We're virgins, so nobody lied to you. Technically. What was it? Anyway, so this is the exciting part, where it's like, there's all speculation. Like, they just kind of like let things trickle out. Like, there's a prostate problem, and it just kind of trickles out of there.
A prolapse.
Yeah, out of a prolapse Nintendo, or a prolapse Sony. I almost said prolapse Sega. I was like, it has been a long-ass time since
it's
Sega
time.
Has made.
Let's bring one back.
I know. Everybody's trying to do the Dreamcast 2 thing. There's even a company trying to do it. It's like, I don't know how I feel about that.
It feels dirty and wrong.
Yeah. Ephesus is like, let the past be. They made their mistakes. They made their bed. Let's just enjoy it.
That comment already hit the Yucatan. They're not coming back.
What happened to the Mayan Segas? But this is exciting because there's just little bits of information coming out. And all like weird patents and strange analytics by like Wall Street Journal. Like that's one of the biggest ones lately of what they can surmise based upon some interviews and what we know of it and some of the specs and like talking with this vendor you know, just opens up and says, like, oh, we're supplying blah, blah, blah chips to Nintendo.
Or, oh, yeah, blah, blah, we're making this thing, and it's only going one place.
Right, exactly. And they kind of follow the money trail.
Yeah, follow the money trail, follow the supply chain.
Yeah, and something seemed counteractive. Like, there's things where it's like, oh, it's 4K 60 FPS, but it has 900p resolution, which is technically strange. Mm-hmm. Like, that's, you know, that doesn't make sense. But then, you know, people keep throwing out, like, well, it could have a portable aspect to it, where if the portable has a 900p screen, mm-hmm. that's fucking amazing. Like, that blows the Vita out of the water. But yeah, it's all this fun speculation. But every podcast I listen to has been spending an hour, 2 hours plus on that speculation. Just the speculation. And what's this? And they're completely stupid for doing this, and nobody actually knows exactly what they're doing. Yeah, it's good to make, like, hey, this might mean this. I feel like this would be a good idea based upon trend and times. But we also know Nintendo's wary of trend because, like, motion controls were a thing for the Wii for a while, and it was a thing that sold well and made a shit ton of money. Mm-hmm. But then it was done. Like, motion controls over. And they kept trying to do it. And it's like, no, that was a fad. You built a system around it. Now you've got to move away from that.
Let's get some
people determine, hey, we kind of like the old way of playing things.
I don't want to move around. I'm playing video games. Don't make me move.
Yeah, I want to sit on my couch. That's what I want to do. Here I already am speculating and going on trends. But, you know, so all I was thinking was, like, God damn it. I don't want to do an NX speculation podcast because that is just another. I mean, nobody listens to this anyways. God bless you if you
listen
to this.
Thank you, the three people.
God bless you. Or Allah, you know, do whatever Allah does to you. Or Buddha. Zeus?
Zeus just puts lightning bolts in your ass.
So may he do that.
And then he comes down and has sex with mortals and makes halflings like Hercules.
You might be lucky. Or sometimes they
just
burst fully formed from foreheads. Like, didn't Athena do that? From Zeus's forehead? From one of their foreheads. I don't know.
Something like that.
But that's how you get to be a goddess of war. So. Or you're in a video game.
That was the masculine one, though, right?
Yeah. Fred?
Fred of War?
Fred of War. Fred of War is just... just a fat guy.
Hey, let's fight.
He's just lost all the time. Game sold poorly. That giant blubbering vagina Danny was like, so yeah, if we do talk about 2016, if we start jerking it off to 2016, I'm definitely going to be talking about the NX for a little while. And I just hung my head. I was just like, God damn it. It's the last thing I want. Last thing I want to do.
You're talking about the next thing. My favorite, you said this is my favorite time because there's something happening, something that nobody knows about, something in development.
Yeah, right? it is the fun speculation. What's it going to be? What's it going to do? And then it's probably almost the moment of surprise of when it's revealed is, I think, my favorite.
I like this period because it's when the console's been out forever. Everybody knows how to tweak it. Everybody knows how to get what they want out of it.
Yeah.
And you get some really solid titles at the end of a console's life.
Oh, God. Oh, it's amazing. Everybody knows how to work the entire system.
It's not comparable to the next-gen thing whenever that comes out, but you have amazing games that come out that totally fully utilize everything.
The tail end of the last-gen stuff can, in many ways, like, it might not seem it at the outset, but if you take some, like, take a few steps back, it almost as equal to the early stuff of the new generation. Like, it's just that clean and that polished and that responsive because, like you said, they've all figured out that, like, anything coming out for PlayStation 3 right now or Xbox 360 is going to be great. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're still in that realm, like, oh, I haven't bought into a new system yet, you know, PS4 and Xbox One, I still have a PS3 or a 360, you're still fine. Like, there might be some titles that you don't get, but the titles that are either A, exclusive, or B, cross-generational, you're going to be fine because they know how to maximize that stuff. God, look at, we were talking a little while ago, you were playing Last of Us. You're playing the remaster.
I'm playing the remaster.
And it looks great, but it doesn't look like leaps and bounds better than the first version on the PS3.
And the reason I played it was from people recommending it who didn't play it on PS4. They played it on PS4.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is a game, I don't care, just get it, play it. Yeah. It's amazing, and it looks great.
Just knew how to... They just knew how to put together the entire system. It was... I remember feeling like the same thing like, I feel like I noticed it a lot in the 16 and 32-bit eras, like, towards the end of, like, Genesis, Super mm-hmm. Nintendo's life, and then the Sega Saturn and the PlayStation, like, when those two were out, like, it's... especially PlayStation, at least in the U.S., because that had a much better grip. Like, Saturn was extremely powerful, like, outclassed the PlayStation right. power, but was just, like, crazy to program for. Like, really, really difficult to make a game for that, so it did a lot better in Japan.
Just where they love craziness.
Yeah, where they just love where it's crazy. And, yeah, then we started hitting kind of, like, the higher definition era, and so things like, yeah, you could definitely notice it, but it came back. Like, mm-hmm. PS3 and everything, it's just like, this is making the most of the systems right now. So, yeah, I totally agree with that. Like, as we are getting ready to, you know, like, finish up with the PS3 and, like, okay, maybe after this year I might box this guy up, throw it in the closet for a little while. Now's where all the great games are coming out for it.
Yeah.
So, with that being said, there's a shit ton of stuff coming out.
What great games are coming
out? And that has already come out this year. So, like, I was talking to you a little while ago, like, I just started... there's a lot of really good articles going on right now. Like, there's a really good thread on NeoGAF, which is probably one of my favorite just little, like, community forum websites, because they throw these lists together, and it was like they have their ultimate compiled list of 2016. Like, here's what we are stoked about. So that's a really right. good one to look up. But then I just started running through the Wikipedia article of, like, everything scheduled coming out for 2016, scheduled, announced, has some sort of launch date or launch... expected launch date or window, and just started writing down notable titles, and okay. I got through, where am I at? Somewhere in March. Yeah, in my garage. No, I barely even got to March. So maybe we'll make it beyond that. But and there's a whole bunch more, where if you're listening and you're like, what are all the games coming out? They're all coming out. Not going to list them here, because you don't want to hear us go through that. So I started writing down some that seemed really notable. And a few of them, like the first few, have already come out. They've already been released. And we haven't even got to touch them yet.
Because it's not January anymore.
It's not January anymore. And it's already February. So we've already missed a few of those. The first one that caught my attention, like I had noticed this year, is A Boy and His Blob.
Oh, man.
Wrote that one down. Which, if you remember, this was originally an NES game.
Okay.
It was like, Boy and His Blob, like, Trouble in Blobonia. And, yeah, Trouble in Blobonia. Did you ever play this for NES?
I did not play
this. So it was like, you had to feed this blob, like, you just had this, like, pet blob. And to get through different stages and to accomplish different puzzles, you had to feed it different jelly beans or something like that, I think it was what it was. Like, and so you could transform to different colors and shapes and shit like that. And then it came back onto the Wii for a little while. They did it like a Wii release.
A Wii Wii?
A Wii Wii. A Wii Wii release. Release.
They leased your Wii Wii?
They leased my Wii.
They released your Wii.
Yeah. Into the back from whence it came.
Yeah.
Yeah, they threw it into the ocean. Back from whence you came.
That's where your Wii comes from. From the primordial ooze.
It just crawled out on its own, evolved. It was a, you know, over
started breathing air.
Millions of
Wii's?
Millions of Wii's. Wii's for me.
Mm-hmm.
Millions of Wii's. So,
if you want to destroy my Wii, was that a Weezer song?
Yeah, it was a Weezer song. This is podcast gold we got going on here. But so there was a rumored variant for the Wii, which I never got to play. But then there was a ton of James is out.
Sorry, I'm good.
There was a ton of buzz where now they're dropping it on PS4 and Xbox One.
Everybody wants the blob.
Everybody wants the blob. Everybody wants the blob. I feel, oh man, I'm kind of surprised.
They want the blob. They don't give a fuck about the boy.
No. Yeah, it was just the blob. A blob and there's a kid. Yeah. Like, that should be the title.
It should be the blob and his boy.
Yeah, the blob eats the bug. Blobbing up some boys.
I hope the boy's name is Bob.
Bob. Boy Blob and his blob, Rob. Boy Bob and his blob, Rob. Blob, blob.
Blob, Rob.
Blob, blob, Rob. I like anything where it's a reimagining Or like, hey, this was like, that was, I felt like Buena's Blob was kind of like a hidden gem on NES, like one of those, like if your friend had it, like they were get, it was given to them by like my great aunt so and so, or I had a Nintendo and so they gave me this for my bar mitzvah or something. And yeah, that was just one. I was like, oh, this is a lot of, this is really cool. It's a lot of fun. So I saw this and I completely overlooked the Wii release, the release for the Nintendo Wii. But
thank you for correcting.
Yeah. But I'm not going to overlook the Wii release.
The Wii FUD. The Wii release?
Wii, the Wii Mix, Wii Wii's.
Okay.
For PS4. So there's first one. First one that's notable.
All right.
Mario and Luigi, Paper Jam. That's going to be a big one.
Is that a porn?
Yes.
Is it like Paper Mario, but just fucking?
Yeah. Like, in. Ironically, it's in jam. Like they're in, or like preserves. Or some sort. Yeah, it's
not a jelly though.
No.
Nobody likes jelly.
Yeah, nobody likes jelly. Like jams and preserves. Like that's just way more homey. Jelly? Mm-hmm. No, fuck jelly. They use horses' hooves for that.
Yeah,
I mean, right?
Or glue? I don't know.
What is it? What is the actual difference between jam, jelly, and preserve?
I don't know.
I know there is.
Yes, there definitely is.
I know what else is. Is we are out of beer, so we need more.
We is out of beer.
We is. We
Whiz. I think jelly has the gelatin. Preserves also have gelatin.
Do they?
I don't know. I just made that up.
You know the preserves, like, obviously they preserve.
We should probably internet it.
Can we do that right now?
No.
We'll do it later.
We should ask somebody to comment.
Yeah.
Our three listeners. Right?
Well, any one of our three listeners.
I'm trying to grow my persona on the internet.
You're trying to play Persona on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
You should. Have you played Persona 4?
No, I haven't played Persona 4.
Golden. Do you have a Vita?
Showers. No, I don't have a Vita.
I mean, it's a Japanese game, so there's probably some golden showers in there. With your sister? So. That's usually how these go.
And some tentacles.
Yeah.
Always the tentacles.
Always the tentacles. No, but it's actually a fantastic game. I'm a big fan of the Persona series.
Okay.
But Persona 4, especially Persona 4 Golden, came out for the Vita. It's one of those titles where it's like, I'm like, meh, I'm meh about JRPGs, but I love Persona 4 Golden. Just okay. A really, really good game, really good story. They're kind of dungeon crawlery, summoning, but just, I don't know, my description probably won't do it any justice. I just highly recommend.
Is that like a one that happens in your head kind of thing?
Like, what do you mean? Like, your the visual, like, that's perspective?
Where the powers come from? Or is it you go and find stuff?
You go, like...
And that gives you power?
Yeah, so it's... Throughout most of the series, like, you have the ability, like, you can recruit and summon demons, but you have to maintain a certain amount of materials of sort in order to keep them manifested or keep them around. Like, they can kind of bond to you or bond with you.
You gotta feed your demons.
Yeah. Yeah, you gotta feed, feed your inner demons. Did I get you a beer?
You did. I'm drinking it.
Okay, good.
I put the empty behind here so you couldn't see it. So no one knows how drunk I am. No one's gonna know.
James, you're on the floor and you're talking through your own vomit.
No one's gonna know. All right, so Buena's Blob.
Buena's Blob.
Also, side note, you like Persona 4.
Persona 4. What's we also next? Like jam, jellies, and preserves.
Right.
Which brings us to Mario & Luigi Paper Jam.
Ah, that's where we
were. That's where we were. Okay. That's exactly where we were. So this is... I'm really stoked for this one. I have seen some of the reviews for it, and they're not terribly favorable, which does make me kind of sad. But this game is a combination of the Mario & Luigi series and the Paper Mario series. So, like,
just scissoring.
There are some scissors involved.
Okay.
I don't know if they're scissoring yet, like, in the good way, in the good Christian lesbian way.
Can Mario and Luigi actually scissor, though? I mean, they dudes, right?
I mean, I have no way to verify that.
I think that's a sword fight.
We're making an assumption about them. It's also like that Mushroom Kingdom, and mushrooms have a shit ton of genders. Like, a ridiculous amount.
Like a continuum.
Yeah, like, a mushroom can have several hundred genders.
Yeah.
Which is staggering. Yeah, it's super hot. Yeah, it's super hot. It's mainly hot because I'm like, I don't know if I could even understand that. I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Like, how do you even have sex with that many genders?
I'm willing to learn, though. I'm a willing learner of all. But yeah, so it's Mushroom Kingdom. So they could be... Or... Everyone's a dude because it's Mushroom Kingdom,
right?
Or is that Sausage Kingdom? Just Mushroom
Tips.
Mushrooms.
Well, I mean, there's a, definitely a
the sausage thing festival happening at the Mushroom Kingdom.
Yeah, like just mushrooms going up and down, and sausages going back and forth. Just
back
sausages,
and forth.
Sausages.
Sausages.
Yeah, one of those.
It's very like vertical, horizontal. Mm-hmm. Like you're not like that's your gender. Are you?
You're vertical or you're horizontal?
Horizontal. Yeah. Are you?
What if you're perpendicular? Like.
Oh man.
Like a slope.
I mean, it's gonna happen. You're it's a statistical.
Then you're a mushroom for sure.
Oh yeah, you could be like. You'd be like one of those that kind of, or if you're a mushroom that like grows in clusters,
right?
A clusterfuck mushroom.
Yeah.
Whoa! It all makes sense now.
Cluster tips.
With cloisters.
Uh huh.
We gotta go to the Mushroom Kingdom. You gotta check this place out.
Yes.
But yeah, Mario and Luigi Paper Jam. So it's taking.
So maybe. Okay.
They could be. I'm gonna say they probably can't scissor, just by what, you know.
You know about plumbers.
What I know about plumbers.
Mm-hmm. They'll snake your drain real good.
So they're like, not well, actually, in, more of what I know about plumbers.
Not in a scissor.
They're into snaking drains.
You, either way, though, you're going to see some crack.
Yeah. They'll sell it. They'll mm-hmm. sell it to you. They should. Like, here you go. First is always free. But this plumbing work I just did is going to cost you a fortune.
Like, oh. I'll copper everything. You're welcome.
This podcast is about video games that yeah. we're that I keep getting us off track of. So I'm really excited still to play this, even despite initial reviews being eh.
What is the appeal for you?
So the appeal is a little kind of like Boy in His Blob, where it's a little bit historical. So. Both of those series, the Mario and Luigi series and the Paper Mario series, are considered the spiritual successors to Super Mario RPG on the Super Nintendo, which was a collaboration between Nintendo and Square Enix. Mm-hmm. And it was that first time where you had Mario. They did a three-quarter, that was like really kind of cool, like silicony graphics, three-quarter isometric view. Mm-hmm. And it was an RPG. Like you amassed a party, like you get Bowser to your party, and you had time-based, action-based battles. And it had a really entertaining storyline, a really actually laugh out loud funny storyline. I put it as one of my most favorite games of all time. Square and Nintendo had their falling out after the like during this N64 days, the N64 era, you know, Final Fantasy VII come out and stuff right. like that, and then Square went exclusively with Sony
right.
For a while. Because
discs.
Yeah. That was
sorry.
That was the main reason.
You ain't got discs.
Yeah. And so, like, you know, there's a little bit of headbutting between the two of them. So any thought of, like, a direct sequel to that kind of, like, no,
right.
went away. However, Nintendo kind of carried the thoughts along the line, but it kind of went two different directions. You had Paper Mario, which the first version was on N64, and it was yep. that he had that really kind of like Mario's paper thin, and the levels you could move through in like different dimensions because you are paper thin, but you would have right. to talk to people and go to villages.
It was 3D, but also you're paper thin.
Yeah, exactly. And it was taking that RPG concept, but putting it in this unique arc concept
right.
and building from there. And then they did the Mario and Luigi series, which I believe were exclusively to the handheld platforms. I think Superstar Saga was the first one, and I think that was on Game Boy Advance,
okay,
which was really good. But that was a little bit more of a traditional RPG, like didn't have like necessarily the art style, but still a very Mario and Luigi art style sort of thing. I would kind of combine it with like maybe some of the Toon Zelda style of art, like some of that along that realm. But that was amassing a party and gaining items and going on quests, stuff like that. And both of them similar things, but kind of, you know, manifested in two different ways. And I'm a big fan of both series. Again, like really creative storylines, usually really creative battle systems, like actually laughing out loud, kind of funny stuff. Now with this one, they're combining both of the worlds.
Okay.
And so like in a battle, like, you could summon a scissoring Mario.
That's hot.
Yeah, right? And
Nintendo also really loves spiritual successors.
They do.
They love the I guess, pantheon of characters that they have, and they always want to continue those like core beliefs and core characters forward. So totally not surprising that they'd
Rise on it. Exactly. And where it doesn't have to be a direct thing, it's like, well, if you could imagine so and so in this era. I think Miyamoto multiple times in interviews has stated a lot of times the way their design process works is they just start with a concept. One of the examples that comes to mind is Super Mario Sunshine. And they just had a character with a water pack, like just this jet water pack.
Squirt gun, man.
Yeah, exactly. And then it slowly came to be that they were like, well, we could fit Mario into this. We had, like, they, like you said, they have so much intellectual property. They have so, like, this huge pantheon of
characters. Who can you imagine carrying?
Yeah, who could you imagine? And, I mean, in my opinion, sometimes they just, they lean on the Mario bit too much, but at the same time, he's the most recognizable and sells the most. And I'm kind of like, I'd rather the Zelda Metroids, but, and the occasional Kirby's, but, all right, fine, whatever.
Occasional Kirby. Occasional That's where Kirby. He's wearing the top hat and the boots, because he has no clothes he's, on at any point.
It's, and he's on occasion to fly. Yeah. If you were to see a hooker or gigolo, you could probably request an occasional Kirby.
Yeah, I think the way
Cleveland Steamer and an occasional Kirby.
I think the occasional Kirby who fucks probably just eats them.
Yeah,
it doesn't seem very hot, but I mean, but that's what Kirby's into.
Yeah, but if you are, it doesn't seem hot, but that's what he's into, and like,
and then he turns into you and takes your powers.
Yeah, and that's the orgasm. Or replicates right there. Your powers. Yeah. That's the orgasm right there that everybody feels.
Does he replicate you and then fuck you while he's got your persona, I think, powers, etc.?
I mean, I think it happens at different times, but it's so like instantaneous, like in the idea of space-time, like it's so fast. Like it feels like years to you. It's like being inside of a singularity or like or like traveling through space, something like that. It just... It probably feels like ages for you of these two things happening, but in reality, a mere second has passed.
So I just want to make sure I understand. Kirby swallows you. Mm-hmm. You get compressed to such a degree that you become a singularity.
Mm-hmm. Time effectively slows
to a stop.
So crawlingly slow, yeah.
And then you get squirted out. Like one of those hairs that Stephen Hawking was talking about?
Yeah, or it's like because he can spit you out as a star. So like that's like you either become part of Kirby and in that eternal bliss, or he shoots you out as like his jizz star.
His jizz star. He compresses you and makes a new star.
Yeah.
A new star is born.
Yeah. Did we just stumble uncontrollably into Kirby as an analogy for quantum physics?
Yeah, totally.
All right, cool. I'll join us next time when our guest will be Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson, as he helps us confirm our theory.
Yeah, that's not gonna happen. He's busy.
He's really busy. He'd probably also be like, "The hell
who
is
the fuck are you?
The hell is wrong with you, dude? That is not how science
works." Please. I don't know why he would say that to us. He's very intelligent and well spoken. He's
super intelligent. We got to see him a little while ago.
That's true.
That was so much fun.
Uh huh. No shoes.
Nope. Man hates wearing shoes when he speaks, and I'm fine with that. I like that he could go, like it was 3 hours of him talking. He's like, "We're gonna run over a little bit. Is everybody okay with that?" And I was like, "We don't care. Yay! Science." Mario & Luigi Paper Jam. So did you ever play the Paper Mario series at all?
A little bit. Yeah.
I think a lot of people played the GameCube one. That was in your door.
Yeah, the GameCube was the version I was familiar with.
I just remember before I even played that one actually had me laughing in the store. I walked into a GameStop and they just had it at the GameCube station. I was like, the hell is this? And I was like, oh, this looks like the new Paper Mario. I didn't even know a new one was coming out. And I was just like, all right, I'll sit around and fiddle and play with it. And I don't even remember the scene that I was in, but there's your main characters talking, and then there's some shit going on in the background where some Koopa is getting held down and beaten up by some gangster Koopas because he owed them money. And it's just like, you just see speech bubbles popping up of like, I can pay you back. And then they take them off, and you just see like the cartoony like stars and like exclamation points.
Right, swirling.
Yeah, and they're like holding him down and beating the shit out of him. This game is brilliant. So other thing coming out, staying on the idea of remakes or old things being made new.
Spiritual successors.
Yeah, Resident Evil 0 HD remaster.
All right.
Did you play Resident Evil 0?
Yeah, played Resident Evil 0.
Yeah. So the remaster is on its way out. What did you think of 0? Like, I'm trying to... I was like, no, I played this. Is this one that I like? Because there's a span of time where Resident Evil was just not good.
Resident Evil is one of those games where they sometimes try things that are different.
Yeah.
And they have the effect of making you scared shitless, which I think is the goal of a Resident Evil game.
Right.
But yeah, it's sometimes, yeah, at the same time, incredibly frustrating.
Yeah.
So, this one, I liked, but at this, I have this relationship with Resident Evil where I really like the shooting parts and I like the mini games, and then like the monotonous wandering kind of drones.
Yeah.
And I don't want to kill a zombie, or I want to get eaten. At the point where I finally meet a zombie, I just want him to eat me.
It's like, look, I'm done. I don't care. Just be done with this.
Yeah, and there's like cool monsters and shit too.
Yeah, and like really creepy nightmare things.
Yeah.
No, I'm with you. It's like you could be ambling along for just a little while, and eventually, like you just kind of deadens your senses because you know, like something could jump out at you at any point, but then it doesn't happen for a while. Mm-hmm. So you just kind of like, oh wait, something jumped out and killed me.
Yeah.
No, I was just walking along a path for far too long.
Oh, there's one of those weird dogs.
Damn.
And I'm dead.
Damn it. That's just a regular dog.
Mm-hmm.
It just hates me.
Was that your experience as well?
Yeah, I was... So I wrote and I was like, Resident Evil Zero HD Remaster. I was like, that's all it was. Like, wait, did I like Resident Evil Zero? Was that the good... Because like, there was Resident Evil 4.
Yeah.
Which came out, I want to say, the same era. Which was quite possibly...
Both GameCube, right?
Yes.
For Nintendo consoles.
GameCube. They did RE4 as a Wii version, too, I think. Mm-hmm. This one was Zero was the prequel to the first Resident Evil. I remember I loved Resident Evil 4. I think that might have been maybe even a swan song for that series in many ways. But that one was... Zero was a little... I think I played it after 4, and I think it just kind of like left a... Eh. Man. But now I'm like, the time has passed. Bring on the remaster.
Right.
And Zero we get from there. But, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's okay to consider, like, things I'm excited about as, like, a remaster. Like, oh, I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
Who knows?
I mean, one thing I always like about...
Is new?
The Resident Evil series as a whole is... I dig the like post-apocalyptic and like government/corporate conspiracy kind of thing that's going on,
yeah,
in the storylines of, yeah, all the games. So I kind of play them for that underlying stuff, and you get to find out, like with Resident Evil, you get to find out, okay, go back and figure out what happened.
Yeah, it's very X-Files-esque, which I still haven't seen any of the new shit on
X-Files?
On Netflix yet.
Did
Did you watch them all?
Mm-hmm.
I'm almost afraid, like, oh, this new thing came out and they're probably going to be making references to all these character bits that I might not get, but you've seen it.
It's so not I've okay. seen the episodes that have been released so far, and they do a good job of paying homage to the previous series. Like, mm-hmm, it's the same opening that they've had forever.
Oh shit, they never changed
it? They didn't change the opening at all, which I thought was awesome.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
And then they make all these,
They just interviewed the guy who did the original opening, the musician, like, on NPR a little while ago.
Mark Snow?
Yeah, uh-huh. I think so. And he starts, like, his wife is the one who's actually whistling.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's like, you should do a whistle. And he's like, oh, you're a good whistler. You should,
why don't you do this.
Yeah, so I was like, that's interesting.
But, like, what was I saying? They play all these, like, nods of the hat to, like, hey, it's not 1993 anymore.
Like, oh, nice.
Mulder's running around with a smartphone that he doesn't know how to use because he's old now or middle-aged or whatever. Yeah. And they take an Uber or whatever.
Oh, car really? Service
and stuff like that. So you're like, oh, yeah, it's modern day.
It's modern day. Like what they would be doing now. Yeah.
And then let's go fucking find a monster.
Yeah. It's like doing the things that they've always done, but now it's like it's...
It's not the old...
Their prime is... Yeah, like their prime of technology is it's different. It's moving on. Did you watch this is an all what's new podcast on Netflix?
Sure.
Did you ever watch Mr. Show?
Uh huh.
With Bob. So did you see With Bob and David?
Yes. On
Netflix. It did kind of like that where they did the first episode and it's like, it's a time machine,
right?
And it's like really to say, but it's like it's not 1996 anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
It wasn't really a time machine. They just bought it and sat in there for like 15 years or something.
And then it was a time machine. They just had to hit the button. I forget what the button was.
Not actual time. Yeah.
Machine.
It was a time.
The comma. They had a comma. Yeah,
it was a time travel machine or something like that.
Yeah.
Television. Well, that concludes our all television podcast. All right. Wait, no? That doesn't? No, because it's a video game podcast. We're talking about Resident Evil.
Yeah.
So I'm actually stoked for that. That is a series I would like to see.
New, more beautiful versions.
Maybe some new life breathed into it.
Yeah.
It's very sweet. Yeah. It breathed into it. Breathed the new life into it. What else I got? Here's one. Street Fighter V.
Okay.
It's not 4 anymore. It's 5.
What, how are you going to play without a big-ass controller, though?
Or at an arcade console. Actually, this will be... They will always have arcade variants of this, but...
As long as Japan is a country...
There will be arcade variants.
There will be arcade variants.
You could, like... I'm with you. It's like, you can't... This is just going to feel weird without a giant controller. Which, I guess that's why people actually go buy the arcade sticks.
Yeah, you can always get the peripheral. Each generation of console has a peripheral, which is the 6 or 8 button with a joystick, and it's...
Yeah.
Usually...
Some of them are stupid expensive, too.
Yeah, I mean, they're tied into Street Fighter, and it's got the fast buttons, and then you can do all the hacks and shit to them, too. Like, there's a whole community of fighting game aficionados that go,
they and,
like,
just mod
this is the fastest reacting button, and this is the best spring, and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, and, like, use this chip, too, like, for your signaling and stuff like that. Yeah, I've seen that, or I know even sometimes the first-person shooter community...
Oh, yeah.
Like, they can even do quote unquote illegal mods where it's like it can make a rapid fire. Like, you can press the button once, but it would trigger a firing mechanism like 10 to 20 times over. Something like that. But yeah.
It's the right joysticks and all that kind of stuff.
It's a really fascinating subculture. Yeah. I mean, I'm just getting into it because, like, I love Street Fighter, just even from a fighting game perspective. Like, that's the one that got so much shit started. They're so well balanced. And even. From Street Fighter V, which I probably should have researched beforehand because now I'm just calling from memory.
That's totally reliable.
It's totally,
we know from our experience with memories.
It's usually on our podcast where we try to be academic about things.
1% reliable. 100. Somewhere in there. Between 100% reliable.
Between.
Betwixt.
Betwixt.
Betwaxt.
Betwixt twats.
Betwiven.
Betwiven? But I think they're going to include all of the DLC. Because they had like Street Fighter 4, the Street Fighter 4 Ultra or Turbo or something. Right. Kind of like they would in the past where it was like Street Fighter 2, Street Fighter 2 Championship Edition, Street Fighter 2 Tournament Edition.
Street Fighter the movie, the game.
Street Fighter the movie, the game, which I have now in Japanese.
Arigato.
Yeah, you too. you too, pal. but it, unbeknownst to us, like, a lot of times we would see it as new features, but a lot of times in the background those new versions would have fixes to the balances of the characters. Like, this character was way too powerful for this, or they could spam this move too much.
Right.
And so recently, like, you get Street Fighter 3, Street Fighter Alpha 3, Street Fighter blah blah blah, or like last year Turbo and Ultra and whatever, and you'd have to buy them. I believe now, like, when you buy Street Fighter right out, it will include all of their updates to it up until maybe like a certain point. If they're like, all right, now we're gonna add like actual major content to the game, it's like, oh yeah, we might add some content here, but more than likely, you know, people are gonna figure out things that we could never figure out in testing as far as like what they can spam and what they could do to kind of cheat their way through it. For modern era, I'm very much in favor of, you know what, just charge me outright for the game, $60-something, and include...
I'll pay the $120 for the controller.
Yeah, don't charge me $60 and then keep charging me more for downloadable content that just fixes problems. Or it's like, oh, we'll make it episodic, it's $10 for each little episode.
Here's a new outfit for Chun-Li.
I mean, I'd buy that.
I'd buy not an outfit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
There's nothing there. Oh.
Yeah.
They had, was there a Street Fighter? They had like Street Fighter competitions at the California Arcade Expo at CAX, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did they do that?
Yeah.
We should enter that this year.
I am terrible at fighting games.
So me too.
No, I will not.
No, I'm awful.
I had a when I ran a video game store, I did a Street Fight for charity tournament.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was pretty fun.
Street Fight. Like, did you actually have people fighting in the street?
Yeah, everyone paid an amount of money, and then we just had basically a bum fight in the parking lot. Little kids beating up little kids, old people getting in the mix. We just said no crowbars, no tools, no hammers. And the last man standing donated all his money to charity.
No tools. I was going to say, you did mention screwdrivers, but you said no tools.
I said no tools. Mm. But you could bring... orange juice and vodka. That's fine.
I mean, to drink.
Right.
Beforehand. Make yourself a nice screwdriver.
You need a screwdriver. Yeah.
I just got that. Moments after this, I was like, wait, that's a screwdriver. Oh. That's what
I made a funny.
Clever.
Yes.
Well, now I look that up. I'll move on to the next thing.
Yeah. What's your next thing?
What's your next thing? What are you excited about? There's also some rumor stuff, too.
There's all sorts of rumors that fly around. The Ratchet & Clank, I think, is something that I'm interested in.
Oh, shit, yeah. Is that still in rumor phase, or are they actually...
I don't think they've set a date or anything, but I've seen a couple of videos, etc. And I think it's just called maybe Ratchet and Clank.
You're correct.
Ratchet and Clank PS4.
Is it for April 12th?
Those games are always fun.
Yes.
And they're also very comedic. So I dig them. And I'm glad it's Ratchet and Clank, because they've done the Clank games and they've done the Ratchet by themselves games. And
is that Ratchet and Clank? Is that Insomniac? Or is there the same ones who did Infamous? Yeah, Insomniac.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, like, have you... Because I was confused. It was like, is that Naughty Dog? Yeah, have you played the Infamous series at all?
I played
that. I always thought it was so funny because it's like, they do Infamous and they do Ratchet and Clank. But then I was like, well, Naughty Dog does Jack and Daxter and then Last of Us or Uncharted.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same kind of, like, you have these powers and these puzzles and things to figure out and, like, different worlds. But you can make a kid's game in quotation marks. And then you can make a brutal, like, bloody, mature rated title as well.
I think it's a good studio that can do that. Like, I think that's why Insomniac is so popular. That's why when they release something, I'm usually excited about it, because I know they put a lot of work and a lot of thought into it, and they can do Infamous and Ratchet and Clank and enjoy the hell out of them. I had a buddy who was, like, super huge. He loved the Ratchet and Clank series. This is all the shit you can make. And
yeah, they're just fun.
And play around with it, but... Oh, yeah, I can play for it. Yeah, so it looks like April 12th.
Yep.
PlayStation 5.
The other one...
is Dark Souls 3. Damn. April's going to be busy for me.
April is. The other one that I'm looking at is the Tomb Raider of our generation, the current generation.
The Drake
series.
Yeah.
Also exclusive to PlayStation, but those are just another super fun... action platformer.
What was the name escapes me of the most recent one.
Four.
Tomb Raider 4?
Drake 4.
Four. Drake. Oh, Uncharted. They said Tomb Raider.
Yeah. The Tomb Raider of our time. Tomb Raiders are still coming out.
Tomb Raiders, okay. I thought you were, okay.
That's still happening.
I'm with you. Man, I need more beer.
Yeah. You should drink more.
Yeah.
Don't stop till you get
it. Oh, God. Uncharted 4.
Yeah.
It's going to be fantastic. I'm extremely excited about this. I'm really, what's that huge vagina's name that's here sometime?
Gwyn?
Yeah, Gwyn. I really hope he gets to play this one. Because he never...
played any of them before. You can now, on the PlayStation Network store, purchase the previous three games for basically $60, $20 a piece.
That's right, yeah, like the Nathan Drake collection.
Yeah, you can do the Drake collection. And
Danny.
Yeah, they're all good games. They're very fun. I really have enjoyed every one I've played, and I'm looking forward to number 4.
Yeah, I didn't even think, like, I don't even think I got... That's on my, like, I know I want to play this game, but I was like, all right, let me go down the list and just, like, write out the notable ones. Fuck.
So that one's cool.
Yeah. So Dark Souls 3 is also coming out. which is going to be awesome. Same day as Ratchet and Clank. 2 days later, Bravely Second comes out. I don't know if you played Bravely Default
no. on
3DS. That one, Bravely Default, kind of went down as, hey, Square, you remember how to make an amazing RPG. Turns out, you can still do it.
They squeeze a nugget out every now and
just
again.
Just every once in a while. So, like, Bravely Second will be coming out. I think that's its U.S. release date. So I think it's already dropped in Japan. And Star Fox Zero. That's going to be great. I'm stoked about that. I don't know. We can get to it.
Okay.
What else have you got? I've been talking this entire time.
Those are the big ones that I've been looking at. Ratchet and Clank and Drake.
That's probably smart.
Because I'm trying to keep my eyes closed and my ears closed and not look at anything that's coming out, because then I'll just want to play that also.
All of them.
Yeah.
I think it's smart. You're kind of a creature of the moment.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, that looks cool, I'm going to play that.
Yeah, that's very much.
And I'm like, oh, this is here, and I got to go grab that, and I got to go buy this one. It's mm-hmm. like, and then 8 months later, I get around to playing them, because I stocked up on games, but...
Yeah. I mean, I still haven't played Metal Gear Solid 5. And I still haven't played Fallout 4.
I haven't either.
So, like, there's some huge games that are going to absorb all of my time that I haven't played, because I know they're waiting for me.
Yeah.
And I know I'm going to enjoy them, and I just haven't pulled the trigger yet.
Yeah. I will say the upside to things like Metal Gear Solid 5 is if you just wanted to play story mode with maybe some of the side quests, because it's very much open world, very much up your alley. Right. But if you're like, okay, I wanted to get a little bit of that, but I don't want to spend like 8 years playing this game, like you could definitely
hard charge.
But it's hard because everything is, it's like, hey, what's that outpost over there? I'll go kill those guys.
Right. And then 9 hours later, it's morning.
And
you haven't slept.
I've been playing a lot, and I get frustrated with myself because I'm very much a perfectionist too, because you get grades, and like how well you do at things can also give you extra stuff, or you just become better as a character, like your people respect you more, etc., etc. So
you're,
it's like,
better at beating people up.
You're just better at beating people
whatever,
up. Whereas like if you go back to the first Metal Gear Solid on PlayStation, you're not really downgraded in any way, like if you get noticed by the guards 8 times in this
one. No, you just hide under that box and smoke cigarettes.
Hide. Yeah, then you walk away. Or now you can actually, for being noticed, it can like dig at your rating and like maybe like give you a better or worse ranking, or you know, your heroism score, which is like how people, like how your troops view you, and so it's like I find myself like, okay, maybe if I can do this and then this and that. It's like I've spent 3 hours on this half an hour mission. But good God,
trying to figure it all out, get the best.
Yeah. And it's, the game encourages you, or Metal Gear Solid 5, right? The game encourages you to, like, take your time, explore, you're going to do reconnaissance. Like, you need to, like, go to different vantage points, pull out the binoculars, mark what troops are where and who's doing what. Sometimes you might have a time bomb, like, hey, so-and-so's been captured and interrogated, and they kicked his ass. More than likely, he's not going to make it past, you know, you need to get to them in 24 hours or they're not going to, you know, they're not going to make it. So you might have a little bit of a fire under your ass for that. But the rest of it is kind of like kind of open. It's like, oh, it took me 2 days to go in and get these blueprints from this tiny Russian outpost. But I did it. Let's see. What else did I write? Let's go to some of the big ones, because I don't want to take up too much.
Yeah,
we're over too
get
much
on
time
the big
here.
One.
Get on the big one. Fire Emblem Fates. Super stoked for Fire Emblem Fates. Have you played Fire Emblem series at all?
I'm not smart enough to play Fire Emblem.
I play it, and you know how dumb I am.
You're pretty dumb.
I'm really dumb. I'm really stupid.
I just, for Fire Emblem games, like, there's a lot of reading that happens.
There's a ton of...
And there's a lot of, like, deep story going on.
It's hard to play.
I just want to smash some shit.
Yeah. It's hard to sit and play absent-minded to that game.
Yeah.
I didn't use the word casual because there's a mode of play called casual. They have classic and casual. Classic, like, was the standard up until, I want to say, I think it was the GameCube one, something like that. Whereas characters die.
Characters die and they're done for the
game.
They're done. Right?
They're gone. Yeah. So if you want them back, you have to restart that particular battle campaign.
Do you think that the casual version is because people are bitches?
I think that might play a part in it.
And they just complain and whine. I want my character back. Well, you should have done a better job.
I think that, yeah, you should have been better at this.
Yeah.
Although I will say sometimes you also face the luck of the draw. Like, you can be extremely skilled. You can work on your characters and make certain, like, everybody in your troop, company, platoon is well-built and constructed. Especially that well-built part.
Yeah, like a brick house.
Yeah. Yeah. but you might just have, like, the character you're facing, critical hits. And, you know, it's like, oh, you might walk out of that battle with, like, one HP left, but you can't get to your little healer person right in time. And somebody, you know, like an archer who can hit you from a distance, just like, boop. And it's like, ah, fuck. And so you can get that luck of the draw shit where it's like, I couldn't have.
That's life, kids.
Yeah.
That's life.
Them's the shit breaks.
Good people die.
Good, yeah. Good men. We lost good men today. but I still play casual, or excuse me, I still play classic. And I oftentimes regret it because people are finished with the game and have moved on and done other things while I'm still at like chapter 10 out of 40.
Just weeping openly when someone dies and you have to start over again.
I can't tell you how many times I get down to like the last few people in a particular battle map. And I just, like, just one of those shitty situations comes along where it's like, I have full HP. Oh, God, they critically hit me twice. And their, like, last weenie archer is just like, yeah. And wait, let's restart this.
Right in your pooper.
Right in the pooper.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's hubris, though, that makes me lose, like, an half HP. Nah, you'll be fine. You go fight that guy.
Nope. And you're dead now.
Yeah, you're dead. Turns out I was wrong. Well, I guess I'll restart. Maybe sigh. But nonetheless, I'm very excited for Fire Emblem Fates. So they're doing this one. It's actually going to be three games, or two main games, and then one DLC game.
Is Fates the first
of so the it's, three? Fates is the entirety of the series, or is the entirety of this game. And there is Birthright.
Sounds hot.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Pardon me while I...
Kiss this guy.
Excuse me while I kiss this guy. I always thought Hendrix was gay. Why would you think that? Excuse me while I kiss this guy? No, let's kiss.
He's God. Getting high. It's drugs. Come on, people.
It's very simple, people.
Very simple, people.
That's how I describe myself. I'm a very simple people. Birthright. Yeah. So the first main game is Birthright and Conquest. And you start... because you always get, for the most part, like a customizable avatar, quote unquote. Not a blue
avatar. Is that what you wear when you're wrestling in high school?
Yeah,
avatar.
Yeah, avatared. What's the proper term?
That's the guy. Singlet. An avatar is the guy that runs the media center, but he's kind of slow.
He's
an avatar.
He's somebody. The more PC term nowadays is he's on the spectrum.
He's an Ava on the spectrum.
Tart. He's an Ava on the spectrum tart. God damn it. I wrote down notes and everything, and I don't even know what they mean anymore.
Derailed. And then what happened?
Anyways, in this case, you can either, like, you might be playing, like, a single character, or it's following this person, and it's two ancient warring families, but... You were in one family and were picked up or adopted by the other for one circumstance or another. So now it's like, what do you do? Do you follow the more warlike family who's wanting to take over everything, or do you follow like kind of this classical peaceful family, but is also, you know, it's like obviously has their their downside, you know, to them, but the yang within their own yin, if you so to speak. And so it makes it really interesting. Of like which side do you pick, and that's how your story goes. So now you can't do stuff from this angle because you're not going that story route. So it gives you kind of a multiple playthrough.
It's like angle. It's like it's like Theon Greyjoy with the Starks. Like, he's not a Stark, but he was raised by them.
Is this,
so
is
does
this
he
go
after his birthright, or does he?
Is this Game of Thrones?
Yeah,
this
Game of Thrones. Okay, I haven't seen it. You're a terrible nerd.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, there's boobs in it.
They were constantly. So I've seen like the first four episodes of season one. It was great. It was awesome. Here's my gripe. I'm gonna put this gripe on the podcast. So I started watching it, and this is honestly, I think, when season one had just come out.
Okay.
Just been through it, so I was watching through that. We had just moved to California, and I was watching it. God, yeah, we're still in our when our company moved us out here. They gave us like temporary housing, so we're still just in like this little tiny apartment that they gave us, and I was watching it there. My wife's like, "Are you watching Game of Thrones?" And I was like, "Yeah, it's really good." She's like, "Don't watch anymore. I want to watch it with you. We'll watch it together." I was like, "Oh, okay." So I stopped, put it on pause, didn't watch anymore. And then a few weeks go by, we don't watch anything, and I come home, and she got home before me this day, and she was just marathoning through. She was already almost done with season one. I was like, "What the hell?" She's like, "Yeah, I couldn't wait for you." I was like,
"Gotta see them boobs."
Yeah,
I understand.
Yeah. Because there's nowhere else I'm going to see them.
Yeah.
Anywhere.
Thank you, HBO.
Thanks, H-Boobo. H-B-O-O-B. H-Boob.
That would be H-Bob. B-O-B.
H-Bob's your uncle. Speaking of H-Bombs. Fire Emblem Fates. Very excited about that.
All right.
There's so fucking many, and we're already at like an hour and 20.
Yeah.
I'm not even certain how to wrap it up. How do we wrap it up? Was this fascinating? Was this a good episode?
This was the worst episode ever.
It's a terrible episode. Should we just talk about the
end? Danny, we need you.
God damn it. Actually, this is probably the best episode ever.
Probably because Danny's not here. Yeah. Giant vagina.
Yeah.
So over the Santa Cruz Mountains, there's some redwoods. One of those, some of them are named because fucking Santa Cruz hippies named trees.
Mm-hmm.
And one is called the Mother of the Earth.
Right. Oh, I know there's the Mother of the Forest.
Mother of the Forest, sorry.
Oh, okay,
Mother of the Forest. Have you seen the Mother of the Forest?
Yes.
So you've seen the giant gaping vagina hole.
Yeah, yeah.
Like two-story high vagina on a tree.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Danny Gwynn.
Danny Gwynn, Mother of the Forest.
Yeah, but that's just the hole. He's just the hole.
He's just the hole in the... He's just the vagina hole of the tree.
Yes.
Very accurate.
Yeah,
it's very accurate. It is. That is such a super hippie term. Like, there's scientifically, like, they can like look at a forest and say like, oh, this tree, you know, this would be the maternal like ancestor, and this would be the paternal ancestor. It's like these trees are.
They did it.
Yeah, them trees did it. And,
well, there's also the father of the forest.
Yeah,
in the same.
Yeah, the same vicinity. And it's like they're the ones, like some of the earliest pollinators of it, and like some of the longest, like just been doing it for years.
The longest and the strongest.
Yeah. I mean,
it's no wonder it's gaping.
I mean, for that guy to be still that straight up at his age.
Yeah. Sometimes their tops fall off.
Yeah. I know mine do.
That's why I always wear pasties.
Wow, that's smart. I should do that. Just I don't do that at all.
The top comes
off. I just tie up the shirt. Hopefully it don't fall off. So that's, I mean, there's so much 2016. We didn't even get to Zelda Wii U.
Wii U.
Thank you. Twilight Princess HD is also going to be coming out. I've already pre-ordered because I'm a...
Because that's what you do.
That's what I do.
There's shit tons of games coming out.
There's a shit ton of games coming out. So go buy all of them. And then, well, you can't really return games.
But you know what's free? Podcasts
are free. I don't know. Let us know if you like. Do you like this? Like, this is what's coming up. This is what we're excited about. Are you excited about the same things? Podcasts
or
the Midpub.
Or don't.
Or either way. Yeah, don't tell us. Just stay in silence. Just stay in angry silence as you're driving to work right now, or on a bus to work, or on
cursing traffic.
Something. Yeah, cursing traffic. Or
mad that your coffee got spilled.
Whatever you're doing, you're mowing your lawn right now, and you just hate the sound of your lawnmower, so you'd rather the sound of us. Although I can't really imagine how we would be any better. We can just make lawnmower sounds the entire time. Let us know what you're excited about. Let us know what else you should be talking about. And what we should be talking about. And what that guy over there should be talking about.
No one there.
That's interesting. Usually there's somebody there.
Is it? Yeah. Nothing. Just the microphone.
You
want to
take us home?
I will take you to your house.
Yeah. Done.
You're at your house now.
My house. It's kind of cold.
It's a tidbit nipply.
Yeah. I keep meaning to get like a heater.
Like a parabolic one? So it just goes.
I saw it like
a volcanic explosion noise, like a pyroclastic.
I just do have that bowl of magma.
Sit that down here. The crucible.
I saw Fry's had like a microthermic one or something, like a little flat panel one. I was like, oh, that's
cool. A flat panel heater. I gotta check that out. I don't know. Flat panels are like, that's the thing right now. Actually, no, it's not anymore.
Curve.
It's about the curve shit.
Gotta get the curve, yeah.
I don't understand.
Curve TVs, curve wieners.
I was like, I went into a Best Buy the other day. I hadn't been to a Best Buy in like a year and a half. Curve TV. I pointed to it and I said, dude, the TV's broken. It's broken. Trying to sell that.
Oh, I'm sorry, that's a curve TV.
Get out of here.
Nerd. gross.
And actually,
where's your record player?
That's not what happened. I couldn't find an employee when I was at Best Buy.
I was gonna say that sounds more accurate to find no one.
Yeah.
No. Why would you do? They don't.
There was like three dudes in the car stereo section, but they would not talk to anyone.
No, they're doing car stereo stuff. They got car stereo stuff.
I mean, they were texting on their phones, but
yeah, and they're very busy with car stereo stuff.
Yeah,
and thinking about car stereo stuff and texting people about car stereo things and not wanting to be helpful whatsoever.
Yes.
But well, I'm home.
You're home.
And you can stay here, too, if you want.
Sweet.
But you take the podcast home.
Take the podcast home.
Get us out of here.
So, I've been practicing. Because I get a lot of feedback that I'm terrible at this.
Wait, who said that?
To myself in the mirror.
Oh.
I look in the mirror and I say, you fucking suck, you asshole.
You know what?
Fuck you that. Suck that asshole.
You fucking... Yeah. And so I do.
And then I do, but I can't reach. And that's disappointing.
So I got a straw.
And poop tastes bad.
Poop tastes bad. All
right, so here I am. My name is James Lambert.
That story checks out.
Yes. There's a Twitter that you can find me at. And I will try not to deny your request because sometimes I forget that I tell people this thing.
People like to know what you have to say.
But
about
if you want to find me, you can try to follow me. Good luck. It's the at symbol and then doo-doo monster is me. And then normally I point over here, but there's no one there, so we're going to fucking ignore that giant vagina face.
There seems to be evidence of a giant vagina that one's there.
There's a wet spot. But directly across from me, the apple of my eye.
Aww.
Right there.
James.
Ian.
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
I'm Ian Greer, and you can find me at Mark, the space Ian, the definite article. Space.
At M-A-R-K. T-H-E?
T-H-E, yeah. A-T-M-A-R-K-T-H-E. the little squiggly A for at symbol, that's on the Twitter, is where you can find me.
Right.
The space Ian. The space Ian. And please, yeah, shoot a tweet at us.
Yeah. And then this whole thing is called the BitPub.
The BitPub.
Right.
Yeah.
We're on there?
Yeah. You can do the Twitterverse. You can do the doodly thing. The little A doodly thing.
The BitPub?
The BitPub. Okay. Definite articles.
Do you want to talk about any other contact methods?
We can do, yeah. I mean, that's it. We've got, you can email us. We're podcast@thebitpub.com.
Uh-huh.
We got our Twitters. We don't have a YouTube yet. But we're planning and we're trying and we're you know, hopefully.
We're going to get some stand-ins, some body doubles.
We're going to get some body doubles and we'll shoot them. Stream their killing live on YouTube.
I think it should just be hot dudes and then we provide our voices so it's a total mismatch.
I like this idea.
Write that down.
I'll call Channing Tatum. Channing Tatum.
What are you going to call him?
I don't know.
Tatum?
First I'm going to ask him what his name actually is because I always screw it up. Like, is it Channing Tatum or Tanning Tatum?
I think Tanning Tatum.
And then when he's all like, who's this? Who's this? And I'll be like, that's what I'm asking you. And then we just go back and forth and we realize how funny it is.
Yeah, and then you're one of those.
Yeah. And then, you know, we just hang out. We just kind of like have a bro date.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
Soft making out.
Yeah. Just little just friends for me.
Right.
That's it. And then we call it an evening. Speaking of calling an evening, what's this been?
This has been... and I'm a little You're a bit? Are you a one or a zero? That's too far. Sorry.
I think we are a bit drunk.
Yeah, a bit drunk.
All right, cheers. All right, wait.